So, Father, this morning, we make that declaration. Personally and corporately, we choose to praise. Even during the times when it's hard in life and things don't make sense, and the difficulties and the challenges, Lord, may we praise your name, knowing that you are faithful, knowing that you see us, knowing that you care about us, enough to send your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to take our place, so that we could have a personal relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for every person here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Would you teach us now through your word? In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Good morning. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. If you need a Bible, we got some ushers coming down the aisles. Just slip a hand up if you want to borrow one this morning. That'll be on page 999. Or if you're using YouVersion, I've explained that, how to get there. Just go to YouVersion, the Bible app. Click on More, click on Events, click on Bethel Church, and you'll find us there. Started a series last week called God's Grace is Greater Than. And last week we talked about mistakes. God's grace is greater than my mistakes. This morning I want to talk about God's grace is greater than my weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. This morning it is my prayer that God's word will convince us that weakness does not make us weak. Number one on the outline for following along, God's grace in our glory days, verses 1 through 6. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I'll go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain. So no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. The first six verses in this chapter are actually a response to some opposition that Paul was receiving behind the scenes. While most of the people from Corinth were in support of Paul, were behind him, he certainly faced all kinds of opposition. And I point this out because sometimes we don't get to see the real person. Sometimes we don't always get to see, even in each other, what's going on behind the scenes. What's really happening? What's the backfill? What's the true story? A shortened version may have gone something like this in that passage. You're surrounded with false teachers. If this was Paul speaking, if it was shortened, he might have said it like this. You're surrounded with false teachers and people who glory in themselves. I, Paul, I'm not one of them. I'm the real deal. I'm legit. And just so you know, and believe me, let me tell you about some of my glory days is what I'm calling them. He says, I must go on boasting. Let me tell you about some visions. Let me tell you about some revelations that I've had. Let me tell you about some of my experiences that I've had with the Lord. Paul was not short of glory days of the past. He had many things to celebrate. He had all kinds of things to boast about. He had the good old days to hang on to reminisce about. Not unlike us believers today, or maybe even us as a church. It's not uncommon if you just listen to hear somebody say something like, do you remember when? Verse 2 and 3, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether it was in the body, out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows. I know a man, and I'm wondering, who is this man? Who's he talking about? It was himself. He was talking about himself. He says, I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years prior to this day. And to this day, I have not mentioned any of this to anyone else until now. I've kept this amazing experience to myself. During Paul's time, there were many who were looking for the praise of man. So this will help you understand why he was quiet about this. But Paul, on the other hand, wanted his praise to only come from God and not from man. So he wasn't quick to walk around telling everybody about this experience that he had had. Because man would have just, oh, Paul, that's awesome. He said, this experience was so incredible. I don't even know whether I was there in body or whether it was this out-of-body experience. And he explains how God brought him to the third heaven. Like, third heaven? There are three heavens that are talked about. First, the heaven above the clouds, or the atmosphere, as we call it. The second heaven among the constellations. And the third heaven called paradise, where the presence of God resides. And the scripture teaches us and reminds us in Hebrews and Ephesians, it says, the risen Lord has passed through the heavens and has ascended higher than all the heavens to be exalted above all the heavens. So Paul says, I'm not talking about the immediate heaven, our immediate atmosphere. I'm not talking about outer space where the sun, the moon, and the stars exist. I'm talking about the home of God. The third heaven, paradise, where I was not permitted to go on my own, but God brought me there. And verse 4 says, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. There's even more, he says. I was there. I could hear these inexpressible things. I could overhear this divine conversation. Things said meant only for that place, only for paradise. Things that he was not permitted to tell anyone. It was like he was a fly on the wall in heaven. God's house, seeing with his own eyes, hearing with his own ears. Wouldn't that be an incredible experience? But and then verse 5 and 6, he says, I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except for my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or what I say. What an honor. Most people would have not been able to contain this experience. They would have gone around and told everyone, wouldn't you? Guys, you're not going to believe this. He kept this quiet to himself for 14 years. But this verse, these couple of verses are a little confusing too. Paul makes it sound here as though maybe he's not talking about himself. In the same way he started by talking about this man in the third person, now he's removing himself once again. But why would he do that? Why would he remove himself again from this passage? A couple possibilities. One, first, he was clearly embarrassed of having to boast at all to defend himself or his position. Secondly, he was trying to avoid presenting himself as some kind of special Christian. God's grace allowed Paul to experience what I'm calling glory days. Times, maybe you've had this as a believer, times in your walk with Christ when it was really sweet. Times when we feel close to him. Times when we're reminded of his blessings. Times when he answered a prayer. Times when maybe he directed you because you were seeking him. Times when you've been praying for somebody to come to Christ and they surrendered their life to Christ. Times when God intervened in your life when you seemed pretty hopeless. Or times when God opened your eyes so you could see what you needed to see. Or times when he gave you wisdom to make a decision. Those times. Have you had those times? Paul was saying, let me tell you about a time. And though we may not be able to match Paul's experience, because I doubt any of us here have been to the third heaven and have come back. Every believer in Christ has glory days. The times, those times we hang on to, we remember. The times we remember when doubt floods our minds and we go back to those times and we're reminded of God's faithfulness. Or when we find ourselves in the vice grip of a trial. Or when we're entertaining lies. We have those times. Paul had such an amazing experience and yet remained incredibly humble. How is that possible? Well, the answer is in verse 7 and 8. Secondly, God's grace and our thorn. Verse 7 says, or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, here it is, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Paul kept his mouth shut and regarding this experience for 14 years. Needless to say, those 14 years probably were not all that pleasant. He says, in order that I don't only focus on the glory days, those times that I've had the sweet time with the Lord, and find myself reliant on self and full of self, I have been given a thorn in my flesh as a constant daily reminder of my need for God. How quickly we lose sight of our need for God. We don't know for sure what this thorn was for Paul, but the word means a sharp stake or used for torturing or impaling someone. Does that sound fun to you? There has been a lot of speculation like, well, so what is this thorn that Paul talks about? It could have been a sickness. It could have been a physical limitation. It could have been something to do with his eyes. We know that it was a physical affliction of some kind that brought constant pain and distress to Paul. God knew exactly what Paul needed as his thorn to be reminded not only of the glory days, not only of the special days, not only of the reminiscing days, not only of the blessings, but also of his great need for God. But interestingly, it says the thorn was a messenger of Satan, allowed by God. God knows exactly what each of us need to be transformed. If all he ever gave us was the glory days, if all he ever gave us was the days of blessing and the days of answered prayer and the good old days, if that's all he gave us, it would be in our fallen nature to err on the side of pride and become full of ourselves and honestly, probably even eventually taking God's faithfulness for granted. Glory day experiences can lead to pride. Our pride is the very thing that keeps us from seeing our need for God. And when the blessings of God have become a roadblock for us to see our need for God, he allows us to be humbled. And in Paul's case, he allowed a thorn in the flesh to be a daily reminder of his need for him. God's faithfulness and our need for him together produces maturity and transformation. God's faithfulness and our need for him produces maturity and transformation. The thorns we experience can come in all shapes and sizes, all different sources, all different angles. But let's stick to what Paul's speaking of here when he acknowledges that the source of his thorn is from Satan and the purpose of his thorn was to torment him. To act as a constant reminder, to produce a never-ending discomfort. And for us to understand better what Paul's speaking of, I want to share with you a couple of verses out of the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus says this to Simon. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan, listen to this. Satan asked me, to sift all of you as wheat. But I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail you during this time. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. I want to talk about the affliction, the sifting of the evil one for just a minute. First, we know that Satan's ultimate goal We know that his mission, we know that hypothetically, when he gets up every single morning, he has the same mission and the same goal. We know in 1 Peter it tells us, and what is that? To steal, kill, and destroy you. Any way you cut it, the mission of the evil one is not good. And the scripture goes on, he says, he roams this earth like a roaring lion waiting to devour you. Have you ever watched somebody devour something? Have you ever seen something devoured? That's what the scripture says that Satan wants to do to you. And God permitted it. God permitted Satan, just as he did with Job, to afflict Paul with a thorn in the flesh. And while we don't fully understand evil, and we don't understand its purpose, we know that God controls evil. I mean, he is all-powerful, right? You believe that? If evil has greater power than God, then he's not all-powerful. And if he's not all-powerful, he's not God. So Satan cannot sift or cause a thorn in the flesh of a believer in Christ without the permission of God. But he was granted permission to afflict Paul. Man, Paul didn't have time for this. Paul was a busy man. He was a writer. He's an evangelist. He was a disciple maker. He didn't have time for this thorn from his perspective as he looked at his life, but from God's perspective, he didn't have time to not have this thorn. Paul was sure of what he needed, so much so he asked God and he begged God and he pleaded with God. He said, God, please, 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 please take this from me. On the other hand, God was certain of what Paul needed for the perfect recipe in his life. For God's glory and not Paul's glory. And at times, we experience firsthand God's permission to Satan to attack and attempt to sift us. We live in a dark, fallen, corrupt world. The evil one is playing havoc in many people's lives. He's possessing non-believers. He's oppressing believers. Causing trials of doubt, discouragement, shame, self-destruction, abuse, wickedness, confusion. He works his way into our lives where he eventually gains a foothold, and then if it's not dealt with, it becomes a stronghold in our life, and the evil one will attempt to shred you. Have you ever ran a piece of paper through a shredder and just watched it just being shredded? That's what he wants to do to you. That's what he wants to do to your family. To shred you. He doesn't care about anything else but to have you experience a thorn, a sharp stake used for torturing or impaling someone. And if you've ever been attacked by the evil one, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He's roaming around like a lion, hoping to cripple you in your faith. That's his goal. What's God's goal? To use the same thorn as a way to remind you of your desperate need for him. The same thorn. Same thorn. Different purpose. What might it look like today for Satan to impale a thorn into our lives? It really could be any kind of affliction that causes us pain or that is a daily constant reminder. It could be a sickness. It could be poor self-image, it could be depression, it could be anxiety, it could be stress, it could be a false view of self, it could be a poor me attitude, it could be heavy burdens or past mistakes, it could be regret, it could be guilt, it could be responsibilities of life, it could be narcissism, it could be your own insatiable need for approval, it could be a barrage of lies, it could be all kinds of things. Now, we have to be careful thinking that all of our challenges in this life are directly from the evil one. Sometimes our challenges are just the result of us living in a corrupt, fallen world. Sometimes our challenges are just the result of us making poor decisions and we pay the consequences. Some, no doubt, resolved, just like Job's friends, if you remember that story, Job's friends, some have resolved that what Paul was experiencing was punishment from God. So there are people in a camp that think that anytime that anybody is experiencing any kind of difficulty in life, especially of something of significance, they would say, well, God is punishing you. You must have done something wrong because God is punishing you. That's one camp. There's another camp that says, well, if you're experiencing any kind of like ongoing sickness or you feel like, you know, you're being attacked, or that God doesn't want any of that in your life, and so you must have little faith. And it can't be from God. Here's what I know. We are physical, we are emotional, and we're spiritual. And we experience trials and affliction and suffering, and it's difficult to say what source they might be coming from. Sometimes, time allows us to identify the source. But there are also times that we never, ever get to know the source. Affliction doesn't always build character. Sometimes it reveals character. But because we're created physical, we're created emotional, we're created spiritual, all three are always affected. You can't be affected in one area of your life and not affect the other two areas. You can't be affected physically and it doesn't affect emotionally or spiritually and vice versa. Your emotional trauma could be causing physical pain. Your physical pain could affect your spiritual walk and your trust in God. You see how that works. They're always all three. But let's not forget the evil one's desire, because there are people that I run into constantly that really just want to take this whole idea of evil and Satan and just push him off to the side, put him in a closet. Let's don't ever talk about that. I don't understand it, and so let's don't even deal with that. Let's just forget about it. I don't even believe in all that stuff. And so while I've said that we don't know the angle, we don't know the source of something that we're going through in this life, let's not forget the evil one's desire to steal, to kill, and destroy. If the source was completely unimportant, like, why does it even matter? We don't even need to talk about the source of where it's coming from. If that is true, then why do we see in Ephesians 6 where Paul says, get dressed for the battle? Because you are in a battle. You're in a spiritual battle. That passage of scripture wouldn't even be there if it didn't matter. Third, God's grace and our strength, verse 9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, because for when I am weak, then I am strong. You ever played the game, Would You Rather? Maybe you've done this at holidays and around your table. Would you rather? And it's just, you get the choices are polar opposites of one another. Like, would you rather have liberty and no justice, or justice and no liberty? Or would you rather have hiccups the rest of your life, or feel like you have to sneeze but you're unable to the rest of your life? Which would you choose? But here's a would you rather. Would you rather have no thorn and miss out on God's power and strength? Or would you rather have a thorn and experience God's power and strength? In this passage, there are actually two messages, and both are a part of Paul's painful experience. Obviously, the thorn in the flesh was a message from Satan to Paul, but God had a different message, and it was a message of grace. And you remember what grace stands for, right? It's unmerited favor. And he says in verse 9, guys, you have to know verse 9. And listen to this. My grace is what? Sufficient for you. Not only does God give us grace, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace lacks nothing. My grace is complete. My grace is over the top. You will never, ever need anything else. Rather than God remove the thorn, God said, I have a better solution. My grace is a better solution. Why does God allow us to continue experiencing the pain and the reminder of the thorn at times? Here's a possibility. Because God's divine power is best revealed and put on display in our human weakness. That may be why. God's divine power is best revealed and put on display in our human weakness, not in our human strength. His grace is sufficient for every area of life. Every area. Satan's goal is to get us to focus all of our attention on the thorn. He wants us to be consumed and distracted in this life by the thorn. And then God comes along and says, I'm not going to take it from you, but I'm going to offer you enough grace that your perspective in life can change and that I can be revealed in your life. Second part of verse 9 says, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. This is God. God says, my power is made perfect in your weakness. And so he allows us to become weak, to come to the end of ourselves. So we can not only find the strength that we need in him, but also so his power can be on full display in our life. Remember, Paul asked God 3 times to take it away. He was asking God to exchange it, substitute it, give me something easier than this. Sounds like a familiar prayer. There are rare times, and there are times when God will remove the thorn. But often, he does not remove the thorn, but rather gives us his sufficient grace to go on and uses our weakness to exercise his great power. What if our prayer changed? What if our prayer was, you're struggling with something, depression, anxiety, difficult relationships, hard time, whatever it is, and you go before the Lord, and that's our constant prayer, remove this, take it away, remove it, take it away, remove it, take it away. But what if our prayer changed? What if our prayer said, God, okay, I don't know whether you're going to remove this or take it away, but I want to experience your grace in the midst of this. If this never goes away, if I struggle with depression the rest of my life, if I struggle with anxiety the rest of my life, whatever it is, God, it's my desire you take it away, but if you don't, can I experience your grace in the midst of this and your power made perfect? A couple things that we learn that can be very helpful for us when our thorn wants to have all of our attention, and it does, doesn't it? Because isn't it the one thing? It's like a sore thumb or stubbed toe, like when in our life, it's like it just draws our attention constantly to it. And even though Paul prayed to God, he did not explain the reason for the thorn or why he was choosing to not remove it. But what did Paul do? He had a choice. Paul had a choice. He could either allow the thorn to consume him, or it could rely on God's grace to sustain him and God's power to be revealed through him. And that's what he chose. What did he gain? What did he experience? Guys, listen. The power of Christ in his life. We experience the power of Christ in our life when we're weak. One thing we learn from Paul is that he never used his thorn to quit. I came across a meme this past week, and this is in reference to us guys, but it had a guy laying on a hospital bed, a nurse standing next to him, and the meme said this: first intensive care unit open for men suffering from a man cold. And I read it, and I read it. I don't get it. But let's just be honest. Man, there are days I got a headache. And there are days, man, I like, I remember last Sunday, and I remember telling a bunch of people before the service, and I didn't say this to you as the audience, but I said, I slept 60 minutes last night. This was last Sunday, before I had to preach. I had 60 minutes of sleep. And there are times when I got a headache, or I sleep little at night, or whatever it might be, and you know what I want to do? I want to go home and just sit in my little recliner, right? And be removed from everything. Paul's great reminder for all of us that whatever our thorn might be, His grace is sufficient, His power is great. Let me just say this last statement. If we only knew what power there is in the thorns of life. Here's a to-go for you. Maybe something you can do this week. Maybe just take some time and in quietness and maybe get alone and just sit with the words of Jesus and just maybe rehearse these over and over in your mind. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. God, thank you for the power of your word. And thank you, Lord, that this testimony of Paul and this thorn that he had, this thing every day was a reminder. And many of us here this morning have those things in our life that are daily reminders. And while we may plead with you and beg you, would you please take this away? Maybe at times you will, but maybe at times you'll choose to say, my child, I'm going to leave it. But I have something I want you to experience. My grace will sustain you. And because you're in a position of weakness, my power will be on full display through your life.